The one time I want a praise break to happen, worship service, didn't get it. Praise the Lord, church. Happy to be here tonight. Extremely nervous. Very nervous about a lot of things. I continue to ask myself, how can God use me? How could he use me to deliver the word the way he wants it to be delivered? I think about how others are used mightily behind this pulpit, that pulpit, how they break down the word, how they preach, how they teach. And sometimes I really, really wish I had that. But I can do that for so long. I can do that to the point to where I could actually miss what God wants to do through me with what he's giving me. Amen. So with his help, we will get through this together tonight. So if you could bear with me, I believe God has a word. Amen. So we can go into the word real quick. 2 Timothy 1, verses 13 through 18. Before I read it here, this is another reason why I have a lot of notes. I'm very forgetful, and I haven't even been talking for 2 minutes, and I've already forgotten what to do here. my wife hates that. So I would like to thank the Lord above all. I would like to thank Bishop and his family, what they mean to me and my family. I can't put into words. I would also like to thank my beautiful and amazing wife, Kaylee. Amen, 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 amen. And of course, the leadership of this church. Like Brother Zach, I've grown up in this church, and the amount of knowledge and wisdom and time spent in my life from the leadership of this church has been it's been amazing. And I thank them. Amen. All right, now that's all the way. All right, 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, kept by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. If you have your own pronunciation, go for it. Verse 16, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, we're going to go with that. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. This is Paul talking. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Again, this is Paul speaking here in the second letter to Timothy, who is in Ephesus. Paul is writing this book in a prison cell in Rome, being held prisoner and awaiting his death. As I started to read 2 Timothy, I couldn't help but imagine the mindset that Paul had while he was writing this. Essentially, he was giving his final account, all while knowing the outcome of his sentence. After reading this book, 2 Timothy, this short portion that we just read here really stood out to me. The Lord put this on my heart a few months ago. I actually had studied a little bit of this story for a lesson that I had put together for the youth in Sunday school class, but even since then, it really hasn't left my spirit. And of course, we know that, you know, we were scheduled, COVID-19 happened, all these different regulations happened, and the Lord would either put something else in your heart, or he will leave it in your heart, and you just dwell on it, and you just pray on it, and you can really find satisfaction and peace in knowing that God will give you what you need to deliver. This story is after the Apostle Paul's third journey, after sailing from Caesarea to Rome. And I'm just giving some backstory here about what's going on. But Rome at this time was not a safe place for Christians to be. Rome was going through a transition of leadership. Nero, the emperor at that time, had placed a target on the backs of Christians. These Christians were being persecuted in and around the city. Christians were being blamed for a lot of the riots that were happening at this time, a lot of the fires that were raging throughout the city. All of this was occurring in Rome. Paul was one of these Christians that were caught in this persecution. He was then imprisoned in his time at Rome. So now we know where we are. And we're seeing this more and more in the day that we are living in now. The world seems to be coming against the leaders of the church, the people of God, more than ever. But I'll say this, nothing the world has can stop what God has set in place. Try as they may, they will fall short. Amen? Yep. God will do what he said he will do. It is during this time in Paul's life that we are introduced to a man named Onesiphorus. Not much is mentioned about this man, Onesiphorus. I repeat his name because I kind of drill into my head so I don't stutter over his name all the time. Other than that, what's in 2 Timothy, it only mentions his name twice. So here's what we know about Onesiphorus. He and his family were from Ephesus. He was a man of God. Him and his family were all involved in the church of Ephesus, which Paul founded and where Timothy was at that time. And Paul says that he helped him in many ways. He was serving in a certain capacity under Paul's ministry. So we can get a sense of who this man is and how he knows Paul. So he is in Ephesus at the time Paul is put in prison. Right? We know that Onesiphorus knew Paul was in Rome, but not exactly where. Didn't know exactly where he was. So we read that Onesiphorus traveled from Ephesus to Rome to seek out Paul. Once he finally finds Paul in the prison, against all odds, he begins to help Paul, refresh him in his time of need. I have read this before, and the first time that I read this, these few scriptures, the first thing that I thought was, you know, what a friend, you know, what a good guy this Onesiphorus is. But I realized that Onesiphorus was not just being a good friend or being a friend or a helping hand. See, Onesiphorus knew the position that Paul held. Paul was God's elect, the man of God in his life, the man of God in Onesiphorus's life. He knew how God had used Paul. He knew that God was going to continue to use Paul. And he knew that no matter what situation Paul was in, God was still going to use him. But that wasn't good enough to this man, Onesiphorus. He needed to help. He wanted to see God move, and he knew that supporting the man of God was what he needed to do. I can tell you tonight, church, that there is an importance in knowing who the man of God is in your life. And not only knowing who the man of God is in your life, but being willing and able to support him in any way God sees fit. So this is what we're going to be talking about with the few minutes. It's 8:54. With the few minutes that we have left here. See, I believe Onesiphorus was in the perfect will of God when he traveled to Rome. And we see this verified in Paul's prayer to God that he would show mercy to him and his family. We read that in 2 Timothy 1. And again, the Bible also says in Matthew, we're not going to go there, but blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God's promise was fulfilled in Onesiphorus's and his family's life. So Christians weren't being persecuted like in Ephesus like they were in Rome. The journey he made from Ephesus to Rome showed a tremendous amount of courage and the utmost trust in God. He made a conscious decision to leave the safety at home, the place where he felt most comfortable, the place where he was being used in a ministry that he probably was happy in, and he sought out the man of God in his time of need. And Bishop, if I may, in prayer, I feel like God has told me that we must have the mindset of Onesiphorus, especially in this time. That we must be a useful vessel in times like the days we are living in now. We must be able and willing vessels, just the way Onesiphorus was in Paul's time of need. See, he had a servant's heart. He had the willingness to serve in any capacity. Paul said in verse 18 that in many ways he ministered to me. Once Onesiphorus had arrived in Rome, he sought after Paul very zealously and found him in that prison. He was aware of the situation Paul was in and what may have happened to him for helping Paul. But he didn't care. He made a choice and he helped Paul. Paul says that he often refreshed me. He didn't let the situation affect his willingness to serve. When he found Paul in the prison with the weight of the government on him, Onesiphorus still went in to serve. Church, it is obvious that we are living in the last of the last days. And in this time, we have to stand on the promises God has given this church. Right? We know where we are going as a church and where we are going in God. We know where we stand, and we have to know who we stand behind. See, God has appointed a man of God in our lives. For Onesiphorus and his family, it was Paul, but for us, it is Bishop Jackson. See, God had a plan for Paul in this time, and he was still using him, even in his chains. Onesiphorus was essential in this plan. We see this because in verse 15, Paul says that all in Asia had turned away from him. Later, we read that no one stood with him in his first defense, at his first trial. Nobody but the one man that traveled the long journey from Ephesus to Rome. A willing and useful vessel, willing to be used in a place that persecuted Christians. To go into a prison and refresh a man of God. Sometimes it is up to us, it is up to the people of God to pray and to refresh the man of God. In studying this and in reading, the story of Aaron and Hur come to mind, holding the hands of Moses up. You see, church, I want to see God move. I want to see the things of God. I want to see the things God has promised in my life and in my family's life. So my prayer tonight is to have the mindset of Onesiphorus, especially in these crucial times. Amen? I'm trying, church. I'm trying to get going. I'm only 26 years old, newly married to a beautiful young lady, the past year of which I have spent the best time of my life with her. And every single day I grow and learn to cherish her more and more. So, sorry. I just had to put that in there. I say that to say that I have a lot to learn. And God willing, I have a lot of life to live. But from the little experience that I have in this faith and living for God, I can say this. If you are wanting to see a blessing in your life and in your family's life, pray for the man of God. If you don't know your place in God's kingdom, pray that God use you in any capacity, not just where you'd want to be used, and pray for the man of God. If you don't know if you or your family is in God's will, pray for the bishop and pray for the leadership of this church and trust that God has given them a word. Pray that God show you every step before it's made. You see, there is a blessing in store for you and your family if you only be willing. Amen? Again, verse 16 says that Onesiphorus often refreshed. His constant act of refreshing and supporting Paul was ministering to Paul. And in doing so, he had ministered unto the Lord. And it was by the Lord that he and his family were blessed. See, because Onesiphorus was not only able, but willing, God was able to use him in doing so. God was able to use him, and in doing so, had blessed Paul and ultimately led to Onesiphorus and his family being blessed. And that alone is enough for me. You see, I want the best for my wife. I want the best for my family. So if I'm not doing anything in this church, I'm praying for the leadership and getting behind the bishop of this church. Amen? See, Onesiphorus was not concerned with his position. He wasn't worried about the political climate. He wasn't worried about the city Paul was in with all the riots and persecution. He was worried about seeing God move, not only in Paul's life, but in his. See, I'm pretty much done. I'm getting close, but now is the time, church. You see, I have heard this saying at this church. I've heard this saying for a long time, and I've heard it from multiple people. But the saying is that the more we move towards Jesus, the more the world moves towards us. You see, and I've held on to this saying. I've held on to it because it prepares me mentally and spiritually. Because we know where this church is going. You know, we know what we're doing in the kingdom. So why wouldn't we be prepared for the enemy and the world to come after us? 2020 is a year that the spotlight is on the church. See, we're barely halfway through the year, and to see what has happened already, a year filled with fear, panic, disease, and death. But I'm here to say that 2020 is also a year of victory, triumph. And you see, church, the stage has been set for a mighty move of God that no politician or world leader can denounce. And so I plead, get on board. Get on board if you're not already. See, God is moving. And we must be tuned in. Tune in into the vision of the bishop. And we must listen. We must stay focused on the things of God and what he wants us to do. See, it's real easy to get caught up in the injustice and the tragedies that are happening. But now is not the time to make those situations that are happening out in the world about us. We do not have time to take our eyes off of what God is doing in all of it. Every service, it seems, the word of God is delivered and is telling us to get behind the man of God. Tongues and interpretation will come forth. And again, God tells us to get behind the man of God. You see, like Onesiphorus, I am very aware of the political climate. I know what is happening out there. I know that they're going after the churches and they're going after their leadership, going after the man of God and the people of God. See, the thing is that I don't care. I do care if my family makes it. I care what God wants. I care that the man of God in my life and where he's leading us. See, it's not easy for me. I'm staying behind this pulpit for a reason. It's not easy for me to get up here and to say these things, especially up here. You see, I can get real comfortable. I can get real comfortable being used in praise team, real comfortable being used in the young adults, being real comfortable in that pew behind Sister Penn. But church, God is ready to go. And we as a church collectively must be ready too. And I'm wrapping up, church, and Brother Josh is already playing, so if we could all stand. Brother Massey, you called altar call this past Sunday, and you called those who felt broken, and the Lord gave me a vision, and that doesn't normally happen. Think it's ever happened. And if it's not for anyone, if it's just for me, that's fine. But he showed me, and those at the altar with broken pieces at our feet. The Lord was picking up some of the pieces, but not all of them. See, the pieces that he had picked up were enough to put us back together, were enough to complete us, even though some of our broken pieces were left at the altar. You see, God was taking away those pieces in which we did not need. Pieces that we were holding on to, like the things Brother Trey spoke about everything after the comma. See, God wants us to know whatever you are missing, he can add. Whatever you need to let go, he can take it. Church, these altars are open. If you are holding on to some things God is calling you away from, you can leave them at this altar. If you have let go of some things God has given you and you want them back, God can refill you at these altars. If you are struggling, and this is something I've struggled with, if you are struggling to figure out where you belong in his kingdom, come and seek the Lord. Reach out. See, God can and he will do it. Lord, we love you, God. Lord, we love you, God. Lord, we want more of you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, take away what needs to be.